Mental health experts say trauma plays more a part in our lives than we've ever known before. There are true chemical impacts on the brain and healing that has to be done. Today, we continue our discussion on the impact of trauma and how counseling helps with two local experts from Grove Healing Collective. Melissa Spaulding and Susan Freitag are our guests. Susan, is there sometimes a feeling that I can handle this, I can take care of this, I need to exercise more, I need to just let it go? Is that the way a lot of people start in trying to deal with these issues?
Oh, absolutely. I think that is how people start. And it's not to say necessarily that people that have experienced trauma before necessarily need to, you know, go to counseling, for example. But as long as you are working through it, and you can certainly try these other approaches, maybe talking to a friend, you know, opening up someone that you can trust. Like you said, maybe other self-care, you know, certainly is healthy and good. Exercise, meditation, those kinds of things. But if you find that that's something that, you know, you're noticing that things aren't getting better, maybe they're getting worse. Or if you think like, oh, you know, what if I have PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, then certainly, you know, that would be a time where I would seek professional help. And you can start with your physician, you know, your primary care doctor for sure as well.
Melissa, is there still a resistance to go seek mental health among some people?
I think so. Again, I think we're getting better. There's more of an openness to that as we see things like on TV and, you know, it's social media, things like that. But it is a big step for folks to like walk in the door for the first time and sit down and allow themselves to be vulnerable with someone about something that, you know, is very emotional for them and feels very scary. So I think it is a big step for people to get to that point where they're able to do that.
And if you step back for a moment and you think, especially my sense is that one sex over the other, but men typically are reluctant to go to the doctor about medical issues. And so there is that reluctance there. The reluctance seems multiplied when you're dealing with mental health. Fair?
I think that's a fair statement. Absolutely. Because it can be a little more intimidating, especially because when you think about traditional therapy, you tend to think of like, you know, sitting across from each other, and that can really be traumatic in and of itself, I would imagine, too, especially like you said, for men.
I think more of us would think that therapy is lying on the couch and talking about your mother.
Yeah, right.
Right? And how your mother messed you up.
All their fault, yeah.
Do you hear that a lot? Do you hear people say, this is not anything like I thought it would be?
Yes, mm-hmm. Very much so, yeah. I think once people can kind of get past the initial part of that and really start to like develop a relationship with the therapist in a trusting environment, and even when we do things like EMDR, different things where they're like, oh, that's kind of weird, I don't know. We often get that kind of reaction of like, wow, that really helped and that was a good thing. I didn't know for sure when you were talking about that if that was going to work out. But that oftentimes I think people are like, okay, I think this is better than what I feared.
Melissa mentioned building a relationship with that therapist. Does it maybe take time? Does it maybe take a couple of different therapists to find one that meshes with you?
Absolutely. Yes. I tell people we are not a one size fits all. It's good to, you know, I generally say maybe go three times to kind of get an idea. Is this going to be a good fit? Are we going to be a good fit? And then after that, you might, you know, if it doesn't seem like it is, you may want to seek someone else maybe to talk to or interview, if you will.
So, what defines a good fit?
I think kind of a little, it's on both sides a little bit of for the client coming in, being able to get a feel of this is a space where I can really share what I need to share and have a feeling of you're not going to judge me, I can trust you, that kind of thing. I think another aspect is kind of personality kind of part, because even as therapists, like we are our own person too. And so sometimes just like in friendships or, you know, other social things, you don't always mix with someone's personality.
Do people fear being judged in counseling?
I actually do hear that a lot. Like there's certain things I'm a little reluctant to open up to you about because I'm afraid you may see me differently. But the truth of it is that's not something that we do, you know, we hear all kinds of things, and we really get involved and invested in you know, the person and what they've gone through. And I would say the majority of the time when somebody does share something, finally, I'm like, oh, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. I can understand where you're coming from. You know, if they're sharing like maybe something they were, maybe a past experience they were too embarrassed, for example, to share.
You know? I bet sometimes it's kind of a light bulb moment for you. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this all makes sense now.
Yeah, kind of like putting a puzzle together. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, that's where that piece it like fits, and this makes this other part make sense.
Mm-hmm. Do some people ask you to fix it? Tell me what to do.
Sure.
Yes. You're both laughing.
Yes, absolutely.
I assume the answer is yes.
And that's also not kind of what a therapist does. I think that's like a little bit of a misconception. We're not advice givers. We're not.
Yeah, advice in therapy, I kind of like compare it. It's like using salt. You know, be very, you know, sparingly use it. You know, because like Melissa said, that's not something we typically do, because we're trying to help the client enable themselves, and we don't want to create a dependency. So we are reluctant to, as they might say, just fix it. Or what do I do?
How do you deal with that?
I think part of it comes from the reference of, like, we see clients as having that ability to solve their own things. And really, therapy is a journey of stepping alongside them in that and helping, like, point out things and help them get to that insight and then carry out kind of those changes. But the real changing part is, and knowledge of that is already inside of them.
We're talking about trauma and how it is treated with Susan Freitag and Melissa Spaulding. We'll continue. For many people, their decision is made to deal with trauma and other issues of mental health on their own. Is that the right approach? Let's put that to Melissa Spaulding and Susan Freitag as we talk about trauma and how counseling can help. How much of a fear is there that you're going to put me on medication to solve my issues?
That's something I do hear a lot as well. So that's something we can kind of explore, you know, because I think that fear is valid, you know, because there it may just be I need more information. I'm nervous about potential side effects. Does this mean I have to be on it for the rest of my life? Those are some things that we can certainly talk about. But we do show a lot of times that the combination of therapy and med management is what actually helps overall and in the long term. So, again, doesn't mean that someone necessarily has to be put on medication, but if they're at least open to talking to a med provider about that, and about any potential side effects.
What signs should you look for? And I guess I want to ask this on a couple of different levels. Let's start, for example, if you're a parent and you see a child that maybe is acting in a way that you don't expect. Are there some signs that you look for to say maybe this child is dealing with some kind of trauma?
I think we look for a change in behavior. So, you know, if they didn't have issues sleeping or and now are having issues sleeping, or they're complaining of a lot of stomach aches, or I suddenly don't want to go to school and that's become a battle, like looking for kind of those changes in their behavior and how they're talking about themselves, how they're talking about others.
How about if you're an adult, maybe signs that you should look for in yourself that maybe there's something there that you need to deal with?
Yeah, that's something, again, kind of adding to what Melissa said, it is a little bit different with adults. But again, if you're noticing like an increase in nightmares or sleep overall, or even mood, like you're maybe a little more down or depressed than, you know, longer than maybe typical, there could also be, just avoiding certain activities, lack of motivation. There's all these different things that can point to obviously different maybe mood disorders, but it could also be an indication that there may be something more trauma related that might be worth looking into.
Melissa, what do you say to that person who says, I don't know. I'm afraid. I don't want to take that step toward counseling.
I think I would encourage them to just give it a shot, like give it one session, see what that's like. See if it is as bad as maybe they think, or, and maybe it's not even a session. Maybe it's like, you know, find a provider and just ask, hey, can I talk to you on the phone for 10 minutes? Can we just do a consult and see, like, to maybe minimize some of that anxiety kind of response? Most often I say probably isn't going to hurt. Like, worst case scenario, you go meet with somebody and it doesn't go well and you never go back, you know, and we hope that that doesn't happen, obviously, but to maybe step out there and give it a try.
Susan, I'm sure you've had success stories where this can be a changing event in your life to find a counselor that you enjoy working with and deal with these issues.
Yes, absolutely. It's really encouraging to me too to see that happen. But I've had people say that, like, you know, I was a little reluctant, but I didn't realize that, you know, I can do all these other things that I just assumed would never happen for me. My relationships have improved, you know, my mood, you know, whatnot. That seems like that's pretty common, you know, when you do work with, say, a counselor for a period of time and you've met some goals that you've set out for yourself that you, again, may not have thought was possible.
We're talking about trauma and the work of counselors to help all of us deal with traumas, whether they are the big T traumas or the little traumas, the little T traumas that so many of us have dealt with in our life, and just trying to kind of destigmatize the whole idea of trauma. With Melissa Spaulding and Susan Freitag. Melissa Spaulding and Susan Freitag are with us. They are counselors who work in our community to help those who are dealing with trauma. When we say an evidence-based approach to treating trauma, what do we mean?
Those are approaches that we have in therapy that have been well-researched, documented to be effective, kind of held as a gold standard in our profession. Is these are the go-to things that really do help folks process and work through trauma.
What are some examples?
A big one that we use, both me and Susan, is EMDR, which stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's a way to use, like, the physical mechanisms of how your brain works to process and resolve trauma.
Does this work, Susan, with both the big T and little T traumas we were talking about a few moments ago?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, it does. Yeah.
What are you trying to get the person involved to think about, to deal with, when you're doing that?
Mm. A lot of times they may pick, say, a memory that was traumatic. And it's basically like trying to help change maybe their belief about that particular incident. Like, for example, I am bad, which is something we'll hear from, like, trauma from, like, say, childhood, for example. And then pair that with, like, the emotion that you're feeling even today, plus where you store that in your body. And we try to bring that together and help them, for lack of a better word, kind of process or digest that material, because it can be a lot, even if it's been years ago.
Does the brain heal from traumas?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the coolest things about what we do and how our brain is made. So we know that trauma has physical effects on the brain. And when we go through things, it changes the way that our brain works. In doing EMDR, for example, and other therapies really help the brain heal and work differently and better.
Obviously, we know there are a lot of people who turn to other ways to try to heal, or maybe better said, to try to cover up the trauma and pain. Are those, I don't want to say successful, but do people turn to that because momentarily it turns off some of the things in the brain?
Absolutely. What you just said was what I was thinking. It helps in the moment. But long term, not only does it not help, it can make things worse, in fact. Yes.
How so?
It becomes a crutch. And then that person, it's like putting that on, it's almost like putting it on pause. And you don't really allow yourself to kind of heal or work through. And then you take that plus couple that with, you know, life-to-life stressors or maybe even something else that might be, whether it be big T or little T trauma, to impact that. Well, quite frankly, you're kind of like building up on and you're going to just get worse over time.
Melissa, what happens to a person who doesn't deal with these traumas?
Well, we survive. And sometimes the things that we use to survive, like Susan was just saying, aren't really healthy. And they might be different types of coping skills, like substance use or self-harm. Could be some other ones, like excessively working or keeping, you know, your brain so occupied that you aren't able to, like, think and process and be in your body. Sometimes it can be overdoing things. That can create a lifestyle that is very busy and stressful on other terms.
So it might not just be, say, drugs or alcohol or something like that. It can be what we might look at as good traits, but you're doing it to cover up a trauma?
Yes, yes, absolutely. First thing, for whatever reason, popped in my mind, it could be like exercise, which obviously is healthy and something that we all can benefit from. But if it's something that you're using maybe to an unhealthy level because it does help in that moment and you're maybe not dealing with it in other ways, then that could be unhealthy, or say shopping, or, you know, that in itself is not like necessarily bad, but it can certainly be something else we could turn to.